How often does that happen to you, where you get confused?
I mean, I even get abuse in my DMs sometimes, like, your foundation separated yesterday. This is disgraceful. I'm like, guys, it's quite a clicky industry. People will look at you as like, do you fit into this kind of sector of the industry or not?
Every successful person you hear talks about it. Like, the self-belief has to be that delusional.
Oh, absolutely. You have to be delusional about your ability.
People think you have to be a little bit crazy.
Sadly, my brother passed away. I was like, right, this is a wake-up call. Life's too short. What am I doing in a job that doesn't satisfy me? As a makeup artist, people don't realise actually you're a business in itself. You have to market yourself, do your business development, be a therapist a lot of the time. You fake it till you make it. And that's really always been my sort of attitude. You just have to give it a try.
So people don't realise how early you have to wake up for those days.
I wake up very often, 2, 3am.
You're making me tired thinking about it.
It's a graft.
Huda, welcome to Manage the Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I can't believe that you agreed to do this.
I can't believe you asked me.
Why?
I don't know, imposter syndrome. I'm just like, why am I even here?
I would say that out of everyone who I kind of work with in terms of like behind the scenes, the creative side, you are spoken about the most.
Oh my God, that's so nice.
People always tell me how much of a big fan they are of yours.
Oh. And
I make sure first it's not the makeup brand. I'm like, no, it's not Huda. How often does that happen to you, where you get confused?
I mean, I've turned up to shoots before and it said Huda Kattan on the question.
When you saw that, did your face just drop and go, oh, God.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I don't think it's embarrassing for you.
It is.
For them, I think, because like, surely do your research. And you don't look similar.
Well, people seem to think we do. We're both brown girls. We fall into the same category, apparently. But I even get abuse in my DMs sometimes. Like, your foundation separated yesterday. This is disgraceful. I'm like, guys, it's the wrong Huda. So yeah, it happens a lot.
But I guess Huda is like a really unique name anyway. Not in the Middle East, but like in terms of, I don't know any other makeup artist called Huda.
Yeah.
Except for you and the other Huda.
Well, there's the Love Island Huda now. The US Love Island.
Oh, yeah. And she was on the cover. I was talking about someone the other day. It was like Vogue Middle East or something like that.
Oh, really?
She's just like really great. I've not seen Love Island. It's Love Island US, right?
It's USA one, yeah. Mm. She's on the saucier side, let's say. I think she had a...
I've not seen it.
Well, have a look at her clips. Google Huda.
We said something completely. Huda.
Google Huda USA Love Island and you'll see. But anyway, there's a few of us now.
Okay, fantastic. Well,
I'm definitely not getting confused with that one though.
Let's ask your husband. I want to go through how we met because for anyone who doesn't know, you are a very successful celebrity makeup artist.
Uh-huh.
And some of your clients include like Abby Clancy, Rochelle Humes, Celicia Dixon, to name like a few. And you've done some really exciting campaigns. You know, I love seeing your work everywhere. And we've kind of come up together and I don't think many people know that. So let's go through how we met. For those who don't know, we've known each other from the beginning. So both of our first sort of shoots on our own, we started together and then we realized we lived in the same place.
Yeah.
And decided to become best friends there and then.
Yeah.
And that was about 10 years ago?
Yeah. Bit less. So I think it was my first shoot. It was a friend of mine who was like, I was working in the city at the time and I'd said I wanted to do makeup and a friend of mine was like, oh, I've got this guy that's got a brand. Would you like to come and do the shoot? I turned up. I had no idea what I was doing. It was my first ever shoot. And, you know, the guy was so lovely. He'd got an assistant for me. And the assistant had been doing makeup for 3 years. I was so embarrassed because I pretended that I'd been doing it for ages. But anyway, so I did it. And you probably remember the shoot, but it went well. And I remember you...
Do you remember the shoot? I do remember the shoot very well because that was quite a difficult shoot for your first one.
Yeah.
The model in question, lovely girl, but she had heavily fake tanned and sunbedded.
Yeah.
So I would say that her skin tone wasn't naturally a tone. And I remember you sitting there with like 9 different foundations, panicking, trying to make it fit. And you did, to be fair.
Yeah. She was, I would say, probably 5 shades darker than me. with fake tan. So I was just so confused at what
fake tan is a different shade. Like for me, like when I fake tan, I go really orange. Yeah. And that's not a natural
shade. Yeah, she was mahogany. She was she was very dark. So it was a challenge for my first shoot. But yeah, I remember you being like this young, like bright-eyed girl that was like really eager to like make a difference and do
change now
and do, and do things the right way. So I remember you was like talking to me and stuff, and
I was a stylist on that shoe. We can just bear that in mind.
Was you a stylist?
I was
on that
styling
shoe. I feel like you was doing marketing as well.
Yeah, I was like helping the stylist trade. And then I was doing the stuff with she's really nice, but she's gone down a very different route.
Yeah.
And but I was helping her with it. And I don't really know what my role was, but I was kind of doing everything.
I just remember you doing marketing for some reason. But
after I did the social media.
I can imagine you did like chipped in everywhere to
be honest. I did.
Yeah. Bit of everything.
I was trying to help you find these matte foundation colours, you know? Exactly. I remember just being stood with you like, what's going to go on here today? Yeah, I used to be, this when I was like young and full of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we basically discovered that we lived in the same area, didn't we?
And you dropped me home.
And then I was like, yeah, you can jump in the car with me. And then we had a nice long chat and you told me about your life and where you grew up. And we kind of just hit it off from then, didn't we?
Yeah, and now you're like, we're like besties.
We're besties.
And it's more
can't
funny.
Get rid of you.
Yeah. We actually just went to Egypt together. But this is, we'll come back to that because
it was funny.
It's it was a great trip, and it's kind of like leads more into your sort of day to day.
Yeah.
But I remember you asking you a lot of questions about how you started, because mm-hmm. I obviously was one of the few people you told on set that it was your first shoot.
Yeah.
And but you had told me in the car about your corporate career before. Mm-hmm. So you weren't always a makeup artist.
No. No.
Can you go into what you were doing before and why you then decided to get into it?
So my job before this was I worked as a broker. It was very much...
It's just so classy as a broker.
It's so different to what I do now, right? Very corporate, very sales heavy. So my job was to... I started off as a broker and then I actually went into sponsorship sales. So my job was to call up investors and mm-hmm. basically get big chunks of money off them. So 50 to 100 grand investments. And then I went on to advertising. So I was kind of like, you know, getting big companies to put their marketing budget into our corporate events. So really high, stressful, like long hours, very male dominated, very target driven. It was hell. I hated it.
Really?
Awful. I mean, I loved the fact that I could make good money. Well, at the time, I thought it was good money.
You're like...
not so much. But it taught me so many things, I think. I think that being in that world and, you know, going out there asking for things really has helped me build my makeup career now. Because I think... as a makeup artist, people don't realize actually you're a business in itself. Like you have to do everything. You have to market yourself. You have to do your business development. You have to be a therapist a lot of the time. Like there's so many elements to what we do. It's not just the artistry.
Which is also a skill set in itself.
It is, yeah. And something that you can never get complacent with where you're at. You have to always develop. But that kind of business side of my first chunk of my career really helped me build my makeup career, because I went into it completely blind, not knowing what to expect. And it was just that kind of like ambition of like wanting to do well and not being scared to ask for opportunities and put myself in places like the first shoot where I had no idea what I was doing. But I was like, well, you know what? You fake it till you make it. And that's really always been my sort of attitude. You just have to give it a try. Try your best. Most of the time, you won't, you know, you don't realize a lot of people are in the same situation as you in the room. They'll pretend that they know what they're talking about, but actually most of the time people are also winging it. So you know, if you kind of take that element of like being intimidated or scared out of it, it really does help you progress in whatever you're trying to do.
Do you still feel that way when you enter sets? Like, is there any scenarios now where you walk onto set and you think, God, like I'm a bit out of my comfort zone here, even though you do this day to day.
Yeah, there has been situations where I'm like that. It's quite a clicky industry. That's one thing that I would kind of warn anyone going into it. You have to be ready for that. You know, people will look at you as like, do you fit into this kind of sector of the industry or not? And you have to try and block that out and just focus on your craft and focus on just doing the best you can do, because you can get really sucked into like trends and who do I need to be friends with, and you know, what circles do I need to mix in, and what should I be posting and not posting. And that's like a real big thing for creatives, because you get judged from what you put out there.
This is your personal brand, isn't it? It's like your Instagram is your brand.
Yeah.
Shot front. How yeah. important would you say your personal brand is to the success of how you are as a makeup artist?
I think it is very important, but I also think it depends on what your goals are. If you are somebody that wants to be front facing, so you can be a makeup artist where you just go do the job and then you leave, you don't show much about your personal life, you don't go down the influencing route, should I say, then your personal brand is probably not as important. It's more about your artistry and what you do. But if you are aiming to kind of create a brand around you as a person, where people, you know, buy into your masterclasses or buy into you as a whole, then your personal brand is very important. It has to align with your target market, basically.
Would you say, which one of those two would you say you are? I think you're a bit of both.
I think I'm a bit of both. The thing is, I do it reluctantly. I don't like being forward facing.
Why?
Maybe a bit of insecurity, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Baby. I don't see you like that at all.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I don't know. I think I enjoy the makeup side of things, but I think the forward facing stuff does make me feel a bit nervous. That's the side that makes me feel nervous. When I'm on set and I'm doing the makeup, I'm in my own zone. I'm not thinking about anything, and I've completely like zoned into the makeup and what I'm doing, and I really enjoy that part of it. But I realize, as a businesswoman, how important it is to be forward facing and how much it can grow your career and how it can bring in so many more opportunities, you know, with brands, with all sorts of things like sponsorship. I've started building my luxury bridal agency. So that's something that is essential for me to be able to encourage other makeup artists in the industry and hairstylists and whoever wants to, wherever this business grows to be able to see me as a person and buy into me, not just, you know, how I do makeup. So that's the reason why I push myself to do it. You know, there's been, for example, I work with some brands where I do tutorials, and the first one was honestly...
I know exactly what brand this is. I thought all of them were pretty good, to be fair.
Thank you. It was,
and I do this day to day, and I have literally worked with people doing tutorials.
Yeah.
And I actually think there's no such thing as a bad tutorial.
Yeah.
It's the only way it's bad, technically bad, I think, is if it falls flat on personality.
Right.
I don't think you can physically, I've seen people who are not doing this and they're funny and they just do whatever. They do terrible makeup, they're funny. But you're not used to being like face forward.
No, I'm not.
So your makeup, I would say, has come quite synonymous with you. It's a very particular style you have, and I think you can really spot your work from a mile away. And I'm not just saying that as your friend.
Thank you.
I think it's, you know, and you can tell the people who are trying to like emulate it and like, you know, inspired and... But for a lot of people, wouldn't know your self-taught.
Yeah. So I've always been very interested in beauty and makeup. Being Middle Eastern, you grow up and it's all about glam. I mean, you've probably know this from going on an Arabic wedding with me, how glamorous Middle Eastern ladies are. So, you know, you grow up and you go to these really extravagant weddings. Like it's like going to a red carpet event. You go in like these big ball gowns, you go to the hairdressers, get your hair done, makeup done. And this, I was having this done from, I don't know, maybe 12, 13, like really young. And, you know, here in the West, getting your makeup done and your hair done, it's not really become such a big thing till the recent years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, being at school, so a little bit about my background, I actually lived in the Middle East for a big chunk of my childhood. So when I came back to the UK in year seven, I was very different.
Where did you live in the Middle East? Do you want to go with your background?
Yeah.
So you're Syrian?
Yeah. So my background is Arabic. I'm half Moroccan, half Syrian. And
she speaks Arabic too, by the way, which is very helpful.
I do.
When you go to an Arabic speaking country, which we did.
Yeah.
And it was, I've never seen you speak like that. It was hot, to be fair to you. Oh, it was hot.
Thanks.
It was hot.
Yeah, so I lived in Syria before the war. When I was about six, and I stayed there till I was about 13. So a good chunk of my childhood. So when we decided to move back to the UK, it was secondary school. I went to an all-girls school. And there was no uniform. So you can imagine. I know.
Whereabouts was this?
Hampstead, North London.
No uniform?
There was no uniform.
Unheard of.
I know, right?
Now it's definitely unheard of. Your kids have got some crazy uniforms.
They do. So it was very much like, you know, there was so much pressure.
Mm.
All girls school, no uniform to like, you know, have your own style and your own personality. And
I've seen your pictures.
I know.
I need you to tell me one to add into this because your look was very different.
Very different.
So seeing your best friend from school.
Yeah.
It goes off every birthday.
Yeah. 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 Really bad photos.
Yeah.
But I thought I looked great. I was like.
You did back then. Different style.
Maybe. I mean, very different. And it wasn't received well. I got bullied so badly at school. Mm. And it kind of, at the time, it was a shock to the system. I was very innocent. I was very different. And it kind of taught me to just be tough, really, and to stand up for myself and to just be proud of kind of who I am and what I look like, really, because I was different. There was no one else that looked like me. Being different, being Middle Eastern, I'd always been experimental. I'd go to school. My mum didn't let me wear makeup, but I would literally leave 15 minutes early and put a full face of makeup on to school.
Impressive. Did you use the Dream Atmos?
No.
Oh, that was my...
Controversial. I didn't use that.
Did
I didn't.
The foundation mix?
No.
Controversial.
I was ahead of my time.
You were, because I was not.
I didn't wear any of that. I loved a smoky eye. I loved, like, I know, I was like full on Middle Eastern vibes.
From what, like, I remember these pictures, you liked a big hoop as well.
I loved a big hoop.
Yeah, we can see the vision of where this is going.
I had my favourite thing to wear was a velour tracksuit. So I had them in every colour and I had these big hoops and big curly hair.
Oh yeah, your hair's beautiful.
It was at that time. Age has got the better of me. Anyway, so it was massive Arab curly hair with big hoops. So really different to everyone else. So anyway, that is where my like love for beauty came from. And I was very artistic at school. That was the only class I actually went to. Every other class I would skip. Because I was getting bullied so badly, I was like, I don't want to be at school. I'd literally just not go to school. I'd go into art. So my love for creativity started at school. But being from a Middle Eastern background, you know, your parents are like, well, no, that's not a profession. You can't be an artist. At the time, I thought I wanted to be an artist. You have to go to university and do have a professional career, which I did. And I worked in the city, you know, had some successful 10-year career. And when I hit 30, sadly, my brother passed away at, you know, 27, younger brother. So I was like, right, this is a wake-up call. Life's too short. What am I doing in a job that, you know, doesn't satisfy me and isn't making me feel happy? I took some time off work, bereavement, and a friend of mine was like, you've always wanted to do makeup. This is your opportunity to just give it a try. Like, you know, let's start an Instagram.
Just to be clear, you had had your first baby by this point, or not?
Yeah, so my daughter was 4 years old at this point.
Yeah.
So this was part of the reason I was kind of starting to feel really miserable in my work office job, because it was so, you know, I remember one time my daughter was sick and they pulled me in. They said, well, you need to find somebody else to look after her when she's sick because you can't take any time off. And I just thought, that's ridiculous. Like, I am her mum. She's 4 years old. Baby. When she's sick, she needs me. So that was when I really started to like reevaluate, like, is this the right path for me being a mum? And it is hard being a woman in the corporate world. It's gotten easier now, but at the time, there was no working from home. There was none of that. So, you know, that was my opportunity to explore something new when I took time off. And my friend, you know, credit to her, she really pushed me into it. She was like, right, we're starting a website. She helped me start a website. She helped me start an Instagram. And she was just like, just try. Like, you've got nothing to lose. And interesting fact, I posted a few photos, and I think about a month or two into posting, I was just doing like random people's makeup. Like, I got an email from Glow Up.
Oh, BBC Glow Up?
BBC Glow Up. And I was on I went through the process for the first series and I got to the final 11. They picked 10 people.
Oh.
So I thought I was literally, it was, my bags were packed and everything. And I thought,
The disappointment you would have felt as well.
Oh my gosh. It was like, I thought, this was it. This is it. Like,
my moment.
This is my moment. I've literally chosen to do makeup. It's been 2 months since I've been posting some photos, and Glow Up want me to go on their show. And it didn't happen. But I remember saying to the guy, I was like, whether you put me on the show or not, I will be successful.
But you know what? You have to believe that. And you have been.
Honestly. And I remember the guy messaged me a few months later, and he was like, a few years later. And he was like, do you know what, Huda? Fair play to you. Because actually, when you said that, there was a part of me that thought, fair play, but
delusional.
Yeah, exactly. Delusional. You know, this like young girl that's like thinks, you know, she can achieve anything. And I think you do have to have that like delusional ambition at the start where
I think you have to try and keep it throughout, that you have to be so delusionally confident in where you can go.
Yeah,
I don't think that's bad. And every successful person you hear talks about it. Like the self-belief has to be that delusional.
Oh, absolutely. You have to be delusional about your ability.
People think you have to be a little bit crazy.
You do have to be a bit crazy. Definitely. And it's,
that's why we get on. We don't actually find each other's dreams crazy. We just like, fair enough, babe. You could do it.
Honestly.
You want to be president? You could do that.
This literally it. Like that's it's really important to surround yourself with people like that, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's, if your friends don't do that to you, then
they're not your friends.
What's the point? You know.
Do you feel like as you got bigger in the industry, you lost friends?
Oh yeah.
So I would say I have very few now.
Absolutely. And it's not just lost friends. You start to see people's true colours. You start to see, you know, who actually is happy for you and who isn't. Because people, when you start out, people are like, oh my God, this is amazing. They you know, they want you to be successful until you're successful.
I always say, we want to see you do well, but never better.
Yeah.
And I was talking to someone about this the other day. And you can't blame people for being like that. I get it. But I do think there's enough room for everyone. And I think ultimately that having that energy of not wanting people to do better is actually a bigger hindrance.
Oh my God. I'm very big on helping. I don't know.
I've seen you do it. You have like group chats with our makeup artists.
Yeah.
And if you can't do something, you send them work in.
Yeah. I've, from the very start, very early into my career, I'd started a group chat because I felt like the industry was very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no one gave me advice. I mean, a few people did, but I was so blind. I didn't know where to go, who to turn to, there's no community there. So I'd started a makeup artist group. And I just, any makeup artist that I'd come across or any friends or anything like that, people that had DM'd me, and I would just be like, join the group. You know, it's just for us to all, you know, talk to each other. You know, sometimes you leave a job and you're so disheartened and you just want someone to talk to that will understand what it's like. So you can just put it into the group and be like, guys, this happened. Is that normal? And it's so lovely because there's so many people in there that will be like, don't worry about it. All different parts of times of their career where they're like, no, this is normal, or this is how you should handle it, or product recommendations, or like you said, jobs, you know, where we can't do a job, we just put it into the group and we exchange. So I have always been really big on there's enough space for all of us. And for me, you know, if you lose a client, they were never really yours. You know, that's how I see it. You know, it's, don't get me wrong, it's hard when you build a relationship with a client and you feel like, you know, that you're their number one and all of a sudden someone else comes in and sweeps them away. It's hard and it is upsetting, but at the same time, it's like, well, that was me at one point. You know, I came in and swept this person away. And that person is, you know, unless it's obviously, as long as they've done it in the correct way where they haven't gone behind your back and done anything.
What would you call the incorrect way as a makeup artist? Because I know how I would see it from my side and what is the wrong way to coach a talent.
If you just happen to have done a good job and the client likes you and you are now their preferred choice, then you know what, good on you. Mm-hmm. Like you've earned that client, and you know, I always try and clap for other makeup artists, I try not to let that kind of doubt or competition creep in, because we are human and it does creep in. There is sometimes where it's like, oh, but is that person better than me? Am I not good enough? And you have to just remind yourself that, you know, you can't please everybody. Your style will fit certain people, and you know, sometimes circumstances might mean that person is just better fitted for the job, whatever reason that is. So I think it's, for me, I would never bring another creative down, and I don't like to badmouth any other creatives. It's really important for us to like bring each other up, and I even offer mentoring for like creatives that are coming up in the industry, which I really enjoy. You know, I do like one-to-one lessons with makeup artists, and I offer like an ongoing mentorship, which makeup artists find really useful, because they come out of it feeling like, oh, okay, well, you taught me how to do the makeup. How do I now
navigate the next steps?
You know, what do I do on a shoot? You know, I come back from a shoot. How do I price myself? Like all these things, like how do I behave on set? Like, what do I say? What do I do? What's the etiquette? All these things that people don't tell you are really important ongoing. And that's part of something that I would like to grow into as well. You know, my 5-year plan, 10-year plan is to build on that and create, you know, even bigger community where I can offer, you know, qualifications for makeup artists, where I can have an academy which, you know, helps them in the industry, because that's something that I felt like was lacking. And when I was looking at academies, everything seemed very dated.
Yeah.
And it was very much
all too modern. I've seen a couple of academies where it's a bit like makeup isn't
wearable.
It's not wearable. It's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
It's very artistic.
It's very artistic. And that's fine if you are going down the editorial route. That's fine. You know, if you want to do more fashion stuff, they do really appreciate the artistic side of things. But realistically, you know, your day to day, they want to look beautiful. Your client wants to look beautiful. You want to be able to do something where they leave and they feel like, wow, this is like an elevated version of myself. So you have to really figure out what your style is and what route you want to take. Something that I didn't know at the start, to be honest, I just kind of did what I was doing, and the industry kind of found me, if that makes sense, or my path found me. And I don't like to be boxed either. I don't want to just be, you know, a commercial makeup artist. I don't want to just do bridal. A lot of people will say, I only do bridal, or I only do commercial, I only do fashion. I want to do it all. You know, I can do it all. And it's, why would I restrict myself to one avenue when you can, you know, it's so, so much fun. You know, you get to go on an amazing exotic trip for a bride, or you get to be on a super creative set where you see lots of other creatives, or you go on daytime television and you meet all these incredible people. Like,
so people don't realize how early you have to wake up for those days. People,
oh God,
people really think it's glamorous, but it's like a 3-4 a.m. wake up.
I mean, that's that in itself, the whole thing looks glamorous to most people. You look,
you just choked on your
tongue. I know, glamorous. The whole thing looks glamorous to most people. I wake up very often. I mean, 2-3 a.m. 4 a.m.
You're making me tired thinking about it.
You know, it's a graft.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I got home at 10:30. So, you know, I'll travel up to Manchester, for example. I did that 2 days ago, just to do one person's makeup and come all the way back down. So it's not like you're, it's not an easy job. Like, you do have to put the work in. And there is a lots of situations where you're having to think of on your feet, you are dragging bags around, like your suitcase breaks in the middle of the station, like
very unfortunate.
You lose a suitcase, you get to a destination,
arrive. I was thinking, where did you lose
it? Yeah, my suitcase last month got sent to a little island in France, and it was meant to go to Italy. So I had to think on the spot.
And what did you do in that scenario?
I, first of all, reassured my bride and told her, please don't panic, we will make this work, and just made my way. Luckily, there was a Sephora.
That is lucky.
Very lucky, because actually it could have been a lot worse. And I spent eye-watering amount of money on some new makeup. So that's why you should have insurance, guys.
There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you based on the conversation we've just had. If you are a new makeup artist and you're sort of venturing out, one of the things you spoke about is not everyone, your style is going to fit everybody.
Yeah.
If you get negative feedback, how do you handle that? Because we were on a shoot once and someone wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
Because they were like, they were in the sea. So their makeup was coming off and everyone was like, I was like, obviously it's going to come off. You're dipping your head in the sea.
Yeah, of course.
How do you, do you remember that?
Yes.
What advice would you give to someone who maybe has had feedback that isn't fully positive, or someone wasn't fully happy, and like, ensure that they carry on in a productive way and they don't really feel down themselves? I think it can be quite painful for somebody. It's such a personal job.
Yeah, it is personal. Yeah. That's a great question, actually, because it's really important to stay level-headed and open to criticism on set, because you are there to do a job. You're there to provide a service. And if your client is not happy, then you have to make the amendments. You can't take things to heart. You know, you, what you think, you know, suits the person, they might just not like it.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to work under any circumstance. If somebody tells you, you know, I've had situations where people have freaked out, you know, had panic attacks.
Because they aren't sure happy on how they think they look.
Yeah, they're just maybe, you know, for example, I've had, you know, a panic attack on a shoot, you know, quite a well-known person, and they just were very insecure with how they felt. And it was nothing to do with the makeup or the hair or the styling, because actually at one point all things were an issue. It was something that she didn't feel comfortable in herself. And you have to just try and manage that and not take it personally, and, you know, calm the situation down, remain calm, don't get defensive, and then eventually you can come to an understanding and hopefully you can work it out and the person's happy. I've seen, you know, I've been on in situations where, for example, the hair wasn't correct and the hairstylist is really kicked off, saying, well, no, you know, you're wasting my time, I've done it how you want it, and it just, it really leaves a sour taste
I've been on shoots where makeup artists have cried over criticism.
Yeah.
And I think that I find that really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable. And I think that's very unprofessional on the creative person's side, because it's not personal.
Yeah, it is just business. It's the same thing.
It's business. Someone's paying for a service and they deserve a good service, right? So you have to be able to do it. And if you do it and actually they're still not happy and you feel like you've reached the end of the road and you just can't make them happy, you just have to apologize, take it on the chin and learn from the experience.
Have you ever seen a horror show of someone really kicking off or really going terribly?
Yeah.
Or heard a story like it?
Yeah. I've seen situations where it's gone terribly bad, and you know, it's
you're just fine.
I mean,
I've paid for someone to do hair and makeup and then I said it's not quite right.
Yeah.
Because also see, some people do forget. Because I only know from the other side. And some people might not know this, but at one point I wanted to be a makeup artist.
I remember.
It wasn't for me. But it can look different on camera. And when lighting shines, like even when we were on tour recently, we was like, Liel Grace's makeup artist will always put on stage, make sure the lights, because every venue's lighting is slightly different.
Yeah.
So you can look really washed out.
Yeah.
And on camera, TV, all those things.
This happens a lot. You have to be also confident enough to say, oh, guys, I just need to fix something. You know, you're better off saying, can I pull her or can I jump in, add a bit of bronzer or put a bit of powder or whatever it is to fix it, rather than saying, oh my God, I'm too scared to say anything. I'm just going to let her sit there. And then they look back afterwards and they're like, oh God, she looks really pale. Why didn't the makeup artist say anything? So you have to be able to rectify things. And things go wrong all the time. You'll know this, you know, just being a woman. You do your makeup, one day it looks great, the next day it doesn't. You know,
exact same process.
It's the same thing.
Eyeliner for me is like one wing's up here, one's down here.
Well, this is it. Like, we have good and bad days, all of us. We're only human. You just have to be able to work under pressure and problem solve. Problem solve is a really important skill to have as a makeup artist. And just try and understand, before all of this happens, actually, the best thing to do is try and understand what the client wants, because that you will avoid a lot of, you know, problems if you do that. If you ask a lot of questions, you know, what's your style? Do you wear a lot of makeup? Because that's a big indication to whether they're going to be shocked if you put too much on, or whether they won't like it if you don't put enough on.
But, you know, for example, we were talking about, so you did my makeup for the NTAs and I came in quite early and I was quite nervous it wouldn't last. And you obviously have to go heavier because it needs to last for 8 to 10 hours. So it's always going to feel a bit heavier. But also I think I'd be really upset if I paid a makeup artist and it looks like natural.
Well, this is it, because you are used to wearing makeup, right?
But then I like to slap it on.
But I think a lot of people... there's not a lot of people. It's just what your style, preference. You know, if somebody doesn't wear makeup on a daily basis, if you put more than what they're used to, they will also feel a little bit shocked. So you have to understand what someone's threshold is and what they're comfortable with, and talk them through the process as well. You know, if you are going to put a little bit more on than what they're used to, tell them why you're doing that.
Communicate.
Say, you know, it's a long day. It might feel a little bit heavier now, but by the end of the day, it won't be. Or if someone says the opposite, like, I like really big lashes, something I hate doing, then I would say, look, it's too heavy for your eyes. You know, it won't photograph well. Tell them the reasons why you advise against it. If they still are adamant that's what they want, then
go for it.
That's what they want. You know, they're the client at the end of the day. So you can give your professional opinion, but you also need to really work with the client and understand their do's and don'ts, what they love and what they don't love. Do they have oily skin? Do they have dry skin? Do they like to be bronzed? Do they like to be pale? Like, all these things. And then that will then save you a lot of problems at the end. I think a lot of people as well don't like to show what they've done till the end, and I get that can be nerve-wracking. I don't really enjoy when someone's criticizing every step of the way, because
there's a process. Yeah.
There's a process, and it does look crazy halfway through. You know, it doesn't look like what it's going to look like at the end. But if someone is adamant they want to see the process, let them see the process, yeah, and talk them through it. Just say, you know, give it some time. Mm. It will come together. So those are things that can help you avoid problems, I would say.
Okay. That's great advice.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people find that useful. Mm. I think another subject for me that's really important to talk to you about.
Okay.
Is, why do you look nervous?
I'm scared.
No, I think a lot of women will understand it, or will sympathise with or want advice on, is being a working mum. And the fact that, you know, to the outside, you do travel a lot.
Mm.
And the importance of, obviously, you're married, but you don't have to be married. But in terms of having a good support system around you.
Mm.
And I know me and you, when we went to Egypt, we had a really great conversation about the importance of finding a partner who supports you.
Mm.
And if, you know, when I was single, I was a proper go-getter.
Mm.
But when you're with the right person, you can still have that.
You see the difference, don't you?
Yeah, and if you're with the wrong person, you can also feel a bit like...
Yeah. I think picking a life partner is probably one of the most important things you'll do. And luckily, I mean, sometimes it is luck, to be honest with you, because...
You did very well, to be fair. Yeah. Max is great.
He's great. He's really supportive of what I do. He's equally as ambitious as me, if not more. He's very driven and dedicated. And he is my biggest supporter. And that really helps me thrive in what I'm doing. Because actually, having two children, it's not easy. I travel, you know, this year, I've done 12 trips already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not easy. You know, I've also got support from family and stuff as well. But my main support system is my partner. And that is really helpful if you are a working mum and you're trying to get that balance right. You're never going to get the balance right.
I like you call him your teammate.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
I really thought that.
Yeah.
And I actually made Huda record a 2-minute voice note on my phone so I could listen back should I ever want to listen to it again.
Yeah, she asked me, Hannah asked me, what's your favourite thing about your relationship? And I said, we're a team.
Yeah.
We're a team. We're best friends, but we're also a team. You know, like in a moment of crisis, we both just snap into like solve, let's solve this. There's never panic. It's always like, right, how are we going to solve this? There's never like, oh my God, we can't do this. It's always like, what's the action plan? And you know, we've been together 17 years, so there's been ups and downs in both of our careers, you know. And it's never been a thing of, well, you're not doing well, I'm doing better than you. Or, you know, it's always been, if you're down, I'll help you. If you're up, let's celebrate it. And that's really important, to be able to not feel intimidated by your partner's success. And, you know, he's had a very successful career and has always had a successful career. And he's never put me down when I'm trying to find my feet. It's always been a thing of, you could do it, go off, you know, try your best. And it, you know, now that I am, you know, where I want to be or nearly there, he's also been like, amazing, I had no doubt, blah, blah, blah. And funny, actually, when I go to him with like, if I'm upset about something at work or something that's happened, he really like wakes me back up. He's like, come on, like, you're stronger than this. Like, don't, this is just one step back that's going to make you go even further. So
it's interesting, you know, because what you do, what Max does to you, is what you did to me when I've gone through problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting to hear that who does that for you.
Yeah, but you do that for me as well. And that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, actually, you know, we might not have that in a partner, but we can find that in friends.
Yeah.
We can find that in, you know, colleagues. We can find that in people around us that are inspiring and that have that, you know, build each other up mentality, and surround yourself with people like that, because it's really important. When I started, I went to a few people and I asked, do you think I should do this? And some people said to me like, oh my God, no, like, you've got a good job.
What? Yeah. I get it. I remember when I started,
yeah,
actually my parents weren't really for me starting my own business.
Which
sounds quite surprising, but it was so uncertain and no one knew that social media made money. So yeah, I do understand that. And it does feel hurtful when the people who care about the most don't support you.
I don't think it's not so much, I don't see it as they don't support you. I see it as they have limiting beliefs and they can't see your vision and their ceiling is
capped,
different to your ceiling.
I don't believe that you should ever have a ceiling.
No, exactly that.
But that me and you say that all the time. I don't think me and you have this, we said this like delusion. Mm. Me and you in Egypt, we've sat there sunbathing and I was like, there's nothing I can't do. And you were like, me too.
Yeah.
And we were just sat there saying, there's anything we put our mind to, we will achieve it.
I think in life, anything that you want, it's achievable if you put your mind to it.
You're willing to do the work.
If you're willing to do the work, you have to put the work in. It's not, you don't sit there and just be like, well, it's going to come to me. Nothing comes to you.
Yeah, people manifest wrong.
Yeah, I know. People get this whole manifesting thing completely wrong. It's self-belief and manifesting is two different things. Like, you can have self-belief, but you also need to put the work in. You can't just sit down and write, I'm going to be a millionaire and just
sit and wait
for it, because it's not going to come to you. You know?
I hate it when people say that one day they just woke up and they had a check through the post.
No.
But did you?
No.
Or did you put in the lottery ticket and that's where it came from? Because you did do something to get it.
Exactly that. You have to put the work in. And, you know, there's so many times where you're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. You know, this is too much. This is too stressful. And you have to reset. Like, every time something bad happens to me, I say to myself, Huda, this is a reset. You're clearing out something old to make space for something new. And that's the way you have to see it.
Trimming the fat.
Yeah, trimming the fat. Whatever it is, whatever you need to keep you motivated, that's what you need to do. And one point I'd say, actually, as a creative, it's really important to find your own style and go with it.
Yeah.
Don't let trends or outside noise influence what you're doing, because it's very, very easy to see, oh, but this creative is doing this and it's really working for them. What works for them might not work for you.
You know, I read this somewhere before and I've always stuck by it. I won't ever take advice from someone who I don't think is doing better than me, because usually their advice I don't think is either limiting or a bit detrimental to the end goal. And I think I don't often just give out advice unless people ask me for it, because I also think my perspective is always going to be different.
Yeah.
And I think that's in every industry. Like, absolutely. I don't just sit there willingly going, oh, you should be doing this. You should be doing this.
Yeah.
I believe in that. Obviously, my job is quite like that.
Yeah.
So people do get my advice without asking, in terms of, because we're one team, but in terms of other sides. And I do feel the same with what your job, because I've heard things people said to you before and I can just see you're just like, blank out the noise.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I think you know what your goal is, and I do listen to people's opinions, because I think ignorance is not a good thing. And
opinions are different to advice, though.
Exactly. And I think you know, you're very good at listening to different opinions, and actually you pick what you want and what you don't want. Like, and that's the sign of somebody that wants to grow. Because if you're someone that's like boxed in and it's like my way or the highway, you're never going to grow, because actually you can learn a bit from so many people around you, and that helps. What doesn't help is comparing yourself to people
comparison
on social media.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Exactly that.
And I say that to everybody, and everyone is on social media, because like you said, you promote your own business that way.
Yeah.
I think honestly, the best advice always comes from the people who care about you the most anyway.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I have a very select few people that I do actually listen to. You're right. Mm-hmm. I do pick and choose what I want to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I take everything.
But you
on
are
board.
Open to it, which is really good, Hannah.
It's come with time, though. I wasn't always.
Yeah.
I've always been very open.
I think you have.
But if I've, like, you know, I think
you select what you want to take on board, but you still listen.
Yeah, I'll listen to it. And I think, I always think if I can, my partner always says to me, argue from a place of fact.
Yeah.
And I always try and think of that now. So I think if there's three people telling me the same thing, the fact is, I'm outvoted. So yeah. there must be something wrong with the way I'm yeah. thinking. Yeah. So you have to think like that.
Oh, yeah.
You but then there's some things I think people are just being arses for no reason yeah. at all.
Yeah.
So I won't take you on board.
Fair enough.
And I think when it comes to your business, for example, with you, you know exactly what fits right and what your brand is. I feel the same about mine. So I feel like really dead set on it. What would you say the top three qualities that are the most important for you in having a partner, especially as a mum in a working world?
For a partner, the most important thing is
this is for support. You, by the way. This is obviously your yeah. own...
Yeah. Someone that supports you.
Yeah.
Someone you can have fun with because it's not just all, you know, serious.
And, you and Max have fun.
We do have fun. Yeah, I think it's important for them to be a best friend. And someone that aligns with your values is really important.
Yeah.
Because if you are on two different like paths and you know this person believes something completely different to you, then it won't work. So supportive, fun, and same values.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one last question.
Okay.
For anyone starting out, what is the top three bits of advice you would give to really strive to their key goals? So for example, if someone wants to go into we'll say to TV world, that's where you went into. How do you separate from doing like the free work and building yourself up, your portfolio, to getting really noticed by bigger clients, celebrities, big brands? What kind of advice would you give? So three key bits of advice.
I would say don't turn down anything. You'd want to put yourself out there at the start. You want to try everything out and try and figure out what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. And experience is really important. So assist people, you know, find people that assist. Assisting is easier said than done because actually not everybody is willing to take assistance on. So if you can't find assisting work, then work on your craft and show it to the world because someone will notice it at some point and say, I really like that. Come and help me. But until they can see what you're capable of, you know, they're going off a blank canvas. I've had so many people ask me to assist, but, you know, I'll get a DM and they'll just say, you know, can you assist? Can I assist you? But there's nothing there to show me what they can do or no information about them. So really work on trying to show what you're capable of or practice with friends, practice or do test shoots. Test shoots really helped me out at the start of my career.
You did a lot of test shoots of us when we were first sort of starting as an agency
exactly.
as well.
And that's one of the things that actually helped me crack the industry. One of my first test shoots was with you and we did...
Was it Harley Brash?
It was Harley.
Because she looked fantastic. I remember that shoot we did for her. Yeah. I remember that picture because you used it a lot. So I know that was one of
It was one of my favourite looks. And actually... one of the TOWIE girls saw it and she booked me and I started then working with her quite a lot. And then I went on to doing loads of the TOWIE people, Love Islanders, TV personalities, you know, singers, like it kind of spiraled from there.
Yes, the snowball effect.
It snowballed. And then I went on to, you know, so I remember I actually got my first e-com shoot with Shein.
Can I remember that?
Yeah. And they were really small brand. They literally, it was one woman that came over from China and she came to the UK and she wanted to start this brand called Shein, right? Or bring the brand over from China. It was literally me, the woman who's, by the way, head of Global.
I know
now.
Who, she's got the bob.
Yes.
I know who she is. Yes. Yeah, I worked with her when we did a collection. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was me, her, a photographer and a stylist and the model. Just literally rented out a studio and I was doing it quite often. And I think people then saw what I could do on models. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of spiraled into me working with, you know, Levi's, PLT,
you
JD
did the L'Oreal
Sports,
campaign, didn't
L'Oreal,
you?
House of CB, Club L. I've done, you know, all the major Next, all the major high street brands online. So it really helped me kickstart my career into going into that sort of commercial world and building relationships with people in the industry. So it's really important to just kind of put yourself out there and show what you're capable of doing and just be a people's person. It's really important because these people, you're going to be spending a lot of time in very close proximity, may I add.
Like there.
Literally right there. And they
breathe on you.
Yeah, exactly that. I always have a mint, by the way. Good tip.
Oh, that is good. And yeah.
Yeah, when I'm doing someone's makeup, just because it's so close.
And don't eat garlic the night before. I remember someone did my makeup years ago and I was like, did you have garlic last night? She was like, God, I've washed my hands a million times. And I was thinking, risky move.
Really
because it takes a long time to get that smell off.
God, yeah, no. I would never do that. I think you have to be just a people's person because they're also very vulnerable, no makeup, and they trust in you to make them feel their very best. So you want to be a people's person and make them feel comfortable. You know, I work on some amazing weddings, some like luxury, you know, incredible destination weddings where you're literally there from the crack of dawn. You're, you know, in the heat, you have to be able to adapt to different situations. You have to be able to calm the bride down before. So there's so many situations you have to put yourself in, but be adaptable. Don't say no to anything. And experiment, basically.
Amazing. Yeah. That's great advice.
Thank you.
And I really hope whoever watching this really feels inspired because you are incredible.
Thank you so
much. And you've really come such a long way. Like you're such a success story to yourself and your family. So congrats.
Thank you so much. So are you.
Thanks, my queen.
Oh, love you.
Love you. I hope you liked this episode. And if you did, please like and subscribe. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Managed. If you loved watching, please make sure you're following us so you can receive updates on our next episode. I'll see you next week.